Let us hear God's word as we turn to Psalm 146 and verse 5. Psalm 146 and verse 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Dear congregation, we read here of a happy man. Now for many of us, we know that we are blessed. Blessed because of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me just at the outset ask this question. Do others know that you are blessed? Do others see you as the blessed man? What do we read here? Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. They see you as one being helped by the Lord. And they see you as one who is placing one's hope in him. In Psalm 32 verse 1 we read, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. There again we consider the blessed man as we do here this morning. And what a blessing as we think of those words in Psalm 32 verse 1, to be forgiven. To have all one's sins covered by the precious blood of Jesus. One's past sins, one's present sins, and one's future sins. What a blessing. Let us today, throughout this day, consider how blessed we are that all our sins are forgiven. Let's value it more and more. And before we come around the table again, let's value these things, and most of all, value our precious Saviour. Dear brethren, is it not a cause of great thanksgiving and praise? We open this morning by considering those words, give thanks unto the Lord. It is the Lord's Day, a day in which we can offer much thanks unto him. He's blessed us so much. He's brought us through another week. He saved us. He's blessed us with many other spiritual blessings. Let us give our thanksgivings unto him. Let us praise him. In Revelation chapter 5 we read, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy to receive blessing and honour and praise. He's worthy. We're not, but he is. He is worthy of all praise. Oh, consider what he has done for you and give him the glory. Now in view of God's amazing grace and in view of what Christ has done for us upon the cross, are we not so blessed this day? Blessed is he, or happy is he, that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Well, here we have then the blessed or happy man. And in view of it, let's raise our hallelujah to the Lord. Now God's hymn book concludes with five psalms, commencing with the words, praise ye the Lord. Just briefly go through those psalms. Just note Psalm 146, praise ye the Lord, verse 1. Psalm 147, praise ye the Lord, verse 1. And so on through the remaining psalms. We have, as you note in the margin, the hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. And we can raise our hallelujah in view that we are the blessed one. We've been blessed through grace and we've been blessed through Christ. Well, as we come to the final division of God's hymn book, we have these psalms beginning with praise ye the Lord. C.S. Spurgeon, commenting on this final division of the book of Psalms, wrote, now we are among the hallelujahs, over a heart full of joy and joyful gratitude, that we may run and leap and glorify God, even as these psalms do. We're among the hallelujahs. And there is this great emphasis on praising the Lord at the end of God's hymn book. Yes, throughout God's hymn book. But particularly at the end of God's hymn book, we're exhorted to praise the Lord. God's hymn book helps us to praise the Lord. It not only gives us words whereby we can praise the Lord, but it helps us to praise the Lord. Well, we are among the hallelujahs. Well, notice how the psalm begins. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And we note here the psalmist leads by giving his own example, being inspired by the Holy Spirit. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. There is the exhortation for others to praise the Lord. But we note there he leads by example. And dear brethren, as we encourage others to praise the Lord, we need to lead by example. If we are going to tell others to praise the Lord, we must first be found praising the Lord, and we need to reason with our own souls. Praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. You see, the psalmist here, he seeks to stir up his own soul. He reasons within how we need to talk with ourselves. How we need to talk with ourselves about praising the Lord. Let me ask you as pastor, did you talk to yourself this morning about praising the Lord? You may say, well, you've been thinking about these words this morning and in the past week. But it's good to think, isn't it? Particularly on the Lord's Day. Let's think about talking to ourselves in the morning about praising the Lord, and on the other days as well. How we need to reason with ourselves. Yes, we face many a trial. We can know what it is to be cast down. But in light of Psalm 42, there is cause to hope in the Lord. And that's a remedy at such times. Or even when we are cast down. Let us reason with ourselves to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Well, that's how the psalm begins. And the psalmist gives this exhortation, and he leads by example. Well, having reasoned with his own soul, in verse 2, he vows that he will perpetually sing praise unto the Lord. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. That's his vow. Having reasoned with his own soul, now he makes a vow. And dear brethren, it's good not only to reason with our own souls that we should praise the Lord, but we ought to make our vows before the Lord. It can be a forgotten subject, but we are to make our vows, our promises, those serious and solemn vows before the Lord, that we will praise him. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. I will, before the Lord, saying that I will praise thee as long as I live. Now, dear brethren, we can think beyond this world, that we will perpetually and continually praise the Lord for all eternity. But our focus is upon now till we get there, that we're going to make a vow. Yes, we can make a vow today in view of eternity, that we will praise him with all of our being forever and ever. But our concentration ought to be on the time in between. Let's pray for help, strength and grace to make a vow before the Lord. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Lord, I will praise thee on those days of great blessing. But Lord, help me to keep my vow. On those stormy days, I will praise thee as well. Well, we have his vow in verse 2. Following on in verse 3 and verse 4, he exhorts his hearers not to trust in men, for in them there is no help or salvation. Verse 3, put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. There's no help. Well, in contrast, he declares that a man is blessed whose confidence is in the Lord. Now just focus on the context here. There were those who were trusting in men. But all he shows the blessed man is one who has his hope, his confidence, his trust in the Lord. And dear brethren, as we look out on this country, and as we look out on this neighbourhood, we see many trusting in men or in themselves. How blessed we are. Through grace we have been caused to see the emptiness of ourselves and the emptiness of men. And we have been led to consider the Lord, and we are trusting in him. We're blessed. But the psalmist, he exhorts others not to trust in princes, but to trust in the Lord. And there's another lesson for us. We are the blessed ones. Let us exhort others not to trust in themselves, but to trust in the living God. Well, from verse 6, following our text this morning, the psalmist gives powerful arguments why the Lord is to be trusted. And in your own time this morning, later on as well, just look at those powerful arguments. And we particularly focus, just as an aid to you, on the Almighty Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he does. Note verse 8, the Lord openeth the eyes of the blind, the Lord raiseth them that are bowed down, the Lord loveth the righteous. Focus on Christ here in the psalm and what he does. And as you view those things, here are powerful arguments why you are to trust him. Let me just illustrate this briefly. Consider how the Lord has opened your eyes. Your blessed Redeemer, he's opened your eyes. You have an understanding of him. You have faith. Is that not a powerful argument? To go on trusting him, to trust him on those good days, but also to trust him on those difficult days. Some of the old commentators point out, we consider in this psalm the mediatorial work of Christ, particularly focusing on verse 8. Well, consider those powerful arguments. Consider what the Lord has done for you and what he is doing for many still. Oh, trust in him. Well, let's return to our text this morning for the remainder of our time. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And the Lord enabling, I'd like us to consider first of all divine help, secondly, assured hope, and then thirdly, true happiness. Divine help, assured hope, and true happiness. First of all, divine help. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Dear brethren, you are happy. You are in a happy or blessed state, for God has helped you. Now just consider the contrast again here in this psalm. Go back to verse 3. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. There's no help or salvation. They cannot truly help. Yes, they may be of some assistance to help one in life, but in view of eternal things, in view of salvation, which we particularly focus in verse 3, when we consider the word help, they cannot help. They may be strong and wise, but they change and prove so often unfaithful. Men can so easily let you down. Young ones here this morning, young people, as you grow older and older, you will learn again and again that men let you down. Trust the Lord in all things. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And then consider further as we think of men. You cannot be sure if they will be there tomorrow. You cannot be sure if they will be there tomorrow. Well, considering all these things, put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. The psalmist said in Psalm 60, verse 11, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Now, in view of sin, men are in great need. They need salvation. All of men would trust in the Lord. No one else can help them. No one else can deliver them from sin and misery. No one else can forgive in the way that God forgives or accept them. No one else can open the way to heaven. Oh, that men would turn from men and trust the Lord. Note the contrast again. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. Then come to verse 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Happy, blessed. What a contrast. There's no grey area here. It's plain. Dear brethren, we are so blessed compared to unconverted men and women. Yes, they may be happy, some of them, very cheerful, and they may come across to you as very cheerful, but all compared to us, they are not truly happy, as we shall see a little later this morning. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Helped, dear brethren, we have been helped. Mankind was shipwrecked, but all we have been helped through our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We look to him. In Hosea 13 verse 9 we read, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. You see the focus there? And dear brethren, we can keep looking to the Lord and considering the help he gave us. We were shipwrecked, but oh, our Redeemer came, and he helped us through grace. Oh, look to him. If there's anyone without Christ, turn from others. Turn from self and turn from sin and turn to the Lord. Look to him. This is what men must do. This is what our neighbours must do. This is what this village must do. They must look unto Christ, for in him there is help. Now we note here, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. We think of the patriarch, Jacob. In Genesis 48, verse 15 and verse 16, we see that Jacob knows that he was supported by the Lord all the days of his life. And dear brethren, you think of Jacob, how he was supported. And we are supported by Jacob's God. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Think of Jacob, how he was supported. But then consider also, as we think of these words, his name was changed to Israel. And so we can go on to consider the God of Israel. In the first place, particularly thinking of Jacob himself, considering Genesis 48, how he was helped. But then consider secondly, how his name was changed to Israel. And we're led to consider the Israel of God and how God supports his people. As he did then, so he does today. He supports us. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. God helps his people. And we are blessed, dear brethren, because we are numbered amongst them. And think how God helps his people. Be thankful this morning that you are numbered amongst them. Dear congregation, there is help in God. Blessed is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Now in verse 8, particularly considering the Lord Jesus Christ, view there the help that he affords. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. What help we have known. We're able to look unto him this morning. Do not underestimate that. What a blessing it is to look to him. We have an understanding. Yes, we desire to know more and more, as we considered on Wednesday. But we have an understanding. Our eyes have been enlightened, as we see in Ephesians chapter 1. We've been delivered. We can see. Once I was blind, but now I see. Consider, we've been delivered from bondage. We've been delivered from sin and Satan. One week ago, what a blessing. We've been so helped. We've known divine help. We've been lifted. Just notice that in verse 8. Them that are bowed down, the Lord raiseth. How he lifted us. He lifted us from the miry clay. And he's lifted us in certain situations since then. One week ago, there is help to be found in the Lord, whose name is Emmanuel. We focus on the triune God, who is our God. And we particularly consider God the Son in this psalm, and how we've been helped by him. In Psalm 89 verse 19 we read, then thou speakest in vision to thy Holy One, and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. The Father laid help upon the Mighty One. The salvation of his people was by divine appointment placed on Jesus. Dear brethren, in light of Psalm 89, all the help you needed, and all the help you need this week, and throughout your life, was placed upon the Son. The help we needed was committed to his care. For he in every way was qualified for the work. The help was placed on him. And are we not thankful? It was placed on him. And we know divine help because of him. The blessed physician helps us. A physician may be informed that there are some people in need of help. Well, Jesus was informed. He knew about our situation before the world was made. And he, the great physician, agreed to help us. And that's why you are helped in life. And in view of this week, you're going to know divine help. Because Jesus agreed in eternity to help you. To help you this week. To preserve you, to keep you, to assist you. He agreed to it all before this world was made. In time he came into the world to accomplish redemption so that you might be helped. Oh dear brethren, you are helped because of him. That's plain in the psalm. In your own time, just consider Christ in this psalm. You are helped because of him. You've been helped through the gospel. You've been helped in salvation. Well, let's consider a little further how you are helped on your journey. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Remember Jacob, he considers how he's been helped in his life there in Genesis chapter 48. And you can consider how you've been helped through your life. Consider how the shepherd has helped you in the valleys. He supports his people. One of the Lord wrote, he gives me grace for every trial. Sufficient grace for every trial. He's able to help us. And he sends this sufficient grace. There's preservation. Psalm 121 verse 7. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Satan, he desires to have you back. He knows he can't. but he desires to have you back. And he would do what he could, but he knows he can't, but he will do what he could, if he could. You're preserved from evil. You're preserved. Your soul is preserved. Through the night, Jesus was keeping your soul when you were sleeping. What a thought. We can go to sleep at night knowing that when we wake up, all will still be well for our soul. Jesus preserves our soul all the time. He's so preserved thee from all evil. Oh, dear brethren, consider that help. How he helps you in every situation. He bears you up. He directs you. He guides you. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. The believer is helped on their way to heaven. The believer was helped that they might find themselves on the right path, and they're helped on their way to heaven. It's a new week. You'll be helped on your way to heaven. If you're an unbeliever here this morning, oh, turn to the Saviour. He will save you and he will help you to heaven. He helps you and he watches over you all the time. He has the shepherd's eye, dear brethren. It's lambing time. And you think of the many farmers and the shepherds, young ones here this morning. They'll be busy through the day and through the night, keeping their watch over the sheep, the ewes and the lambs. You know, some of you, young ones, you like to go and see a little lamb. And you hold the little lamb. Just for a while, isn't it? They're so cute, so white, so pure. You love to hold them. Well, consider the shepherd at this time of the year for hours and hours looks out to them, watches over them. Your blessed shepherd doesn't watch over you just for a few hours. He watches over you all your life. He has the shepherd's eye and he watches over you. One of old wrote Macmillan, the price that he paid will make him watch you very closely. The price that he paid will make him watch you very closely. You see, you don't belong to yourself. You belong to the Lord. He suffered so much for you. He purchased you. He will watch you. Now that's a humbling thing, isn't it? He's been watching me all this past week. But take comfort. He watches you. He gave his life for you. Therefore, he'll never take his eye off you. He has the shepherd's eye. He watches you, and when he sees you in great need, he'll come in that special way and help you. He will support you. You're under the shepherd's eye, so you will get through. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Spurgeon wrote, his watchful eyes are never closed. His watchful eyes are never closed. I was coming back from London yesterday and I was talking to my father. My father was sat in the passenger seat in the front of the car and I was driving down the motorway. And I suddenly just turned to look at my father and he was fast asleep. He was tired. Perhaps he'd been listening too long to me. But he was fast asleep. And I looked again. He was fast asleep. I was amazed because my father never normally drives when I never normally sleeps, rather, when somebody else is driving. He was sleeping. Jesus never sleeps. He won't sleep. He'll never take his eye off you. He'll never close his eye. When it's so dark for you, he sees so clearly and he'll never close his eye. Always watching. He watches to keep an eye on you. He watches that he might restore you from backsliding at times. But he also watches you to come and help you. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord. Or secondly, more briefly, assured hope. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord. And as we see in verse 3, many put their confidence in man. And young people, you're living in a country where the majority of people are trusting in men or in themselves. That's what they're doing. They trust themselves. Well, the psalmist says in verse 3, put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. Do not do it. In contrast, we see the blessed man hoping in the Lord. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord. Now this Hebrew word can be translated as hope or expectation. Whose expectation is in the Lord. And dear brethren, can I say this lovingly to you? We at times need to refocus on the Lord. Let's be placing our expectation on him. Blessed is the man, or happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord. We came to trust him. We came to put our confidence in him. Let's be putting our confidence in him as we live as the Lord's people. Notice Psalm 71 verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. He was a believer. He had come to faith. But here's the exercise. Indeed, O Lord, do I put my trust. Verse 14 of Psalm 71. But I will hope continually, and yet praise thee more and more. Do you see that there? The Lord's people exercising faith, putting their trust, putting their hope in the Lord. We have hope because of Jesus Christ. But let's be putting our hope in him in every situation. Why am I cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. You see the psalmist? He was cast down. And there are times when the Lord's people can become cast down. Like Peter, we can sink. Even God's servants who walk closely to the Lord can sink at times. But let's place our hope in the Lord. Let's put our confidence in him. Let us, as a membership here this morning, put our confidence in the Lord, not ourselves. If we trust ourselves, we cannot expect to be here tomorrow. But if we trust the Lord, we can expect to be carried to heaven and be found rejoicing with him forever and ever. Oh, how we need to trust in him. This word expectation, put it upon him. Expect in the Lord. Be in expectation. It is better to trust in the Lord, says the psalmist, than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Is your hope in the Lord at this moment? Now all good comes through him. And so he is the ground of the believer's hope. In 1 Timothy 1 verse 1 we read, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Saviour and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope. You see that there? We have an expectation because of him. And the ground of our hope is because of him. Why are we in hope? Why are we in expectation? Not because of ourselves, but because of Jesus Christ. Which is our hope? You see, the believer, because of him, can be in expectation of good things. Particularly considering what he has done for us, and that he is upon the throne. We can be in hope of eternal life because of him. In Proverbs 10 verse 28, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness. But the expectation of the wicked shall perish. A sure hope because of Jesus Christ. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. And yes, when we refocus, when we place our hope in the Lord, we can be found rejoicing because he is the King and head of the church. And we say with that one of old, he doeth all things well. Place your hope in him who doeth all things well, even in such a day of declension as this, and even in the dark times you face in your life, he doeth all things well. Place your hope in him. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. We will not be disappointed. The Lord will help. The Lord will support. The Lord will deliver. The Lord will see us safe home to heaven. Our hope is in him. It's an assured hope. Happy, we are told, is the man. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. We are blessed that we have a sure hope. Yes, at times like Asaph in Psalm 73, we can be shaken, but we have an assured hope because of him. Titus 2 verse 1. Titus 1 verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Focus on him. We have an assured hope. We have a hope of eternal life. We have a title to it now. We have a taste of it also. But also we have an expectation of it. And then one day we will enjoy it, and then fully enjoy it in the heavenly world to come. Matthew 25 verse 46. An assured hope. Because of him, we can look to the future and we know all will be well for our souls. We have this hope in him. Dear brethren, let's keep turning to the Lord. Let's keep putting our trust. Let's keep putting our expectation. Doubts may arise. Satan may whisper, put your expectation again in the Lord. Put your trust in him. There may be many things around you and around us that can bring us low. Look to him. Put your trust in him. Be in expectation. Well, as we close, thirdly, true happiness. True happiness. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. So much happiness in this world is short-lived and false. In contrast, we read here, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Now, we meet people in this world, as said earlier, they can be very cheerful, very happy. But compared to us, they are not blessed. We are in a happy, blessed state. We're in the hands of Jesus. What else do we need to ask for? To know that we are blessed. Yes, there are times of sorrow. We see that in Psalm 13. Our Lord was a man of sorrows, and he's the sympathizing high priest. He knows what it is to go through sorrow. But having said this, as we consider our state, we are blessed. And in this blessed state, we know times of joy. In this blessed, happy state, though we know sorrow at times, it's not always easy. We do know joy in view of Jesus. We're in his hands. We're in a blessed state. We're in the family. We're in a blessed state. We're in the fold, as we shall see tonight, under the shepherd's watchful eye. We're in a blessed state. We're saved. We're in union with Christ. Consider these things. Therein lies true happiness. Oh, dear brethren, what a blessing to be the Lord's. We are blessed. But then let's consider further. We're blessed because God is our helper. The world faces difficulties. We face difficulties. There's a big difference now. We are so blessed because we can call in the help of God. And he will come and help us because we are his people. He's our helper. He who made this world. He who is the God of providence. He who is the God of infinite power. stands to help you today. You understanding it, you are blessed. You may be in a veil of sorrow, but you're still blessed because God is your helper. And because of Christ, you have good things in store. Heaven awaits. Emmanuel's land awaits. True happiness. Happy is the man. Happy is he. We're not promised joy every day, but we are happy. We're in a blessed state. Are you all in a happy state? Precious words are found in Psalm 2 and verse 12, that great psalm concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, at the end of that psalm we read, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." Who are those who are blessed? Those that have kissed the Son, who've embraced him, who have embraced him in the arms of faith and in the arms of love. They're blessed. They're trusting him. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Dear brethren, you've gone to him. You're believing. And though you may know great sorrow in your life, the Lord pronounces you happy. And so you are happy indeed. You're in a happy state. You know true happiness because of him. I am blessed. What a blessing it is to be able to say in the valley, though there's much trial and difficulty surrounding you, I know that I am a blessed man. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious God, Lord, we thank thee for that true happiness to be found in thee. And Lord, though we face trial and affliction in this world, we who love the Lord, we know we are happy. We are in that happy state, that blessed state. Lord, what do we need to ask for? Ask anything more for? For Lord, thou art our helper. Our expectation also is in thee. Lord, we are blessed. And Lord, at the beginning of this week and on thy day, we thank thee for the opportunity to exercise faith. And along with the psalmist to say, I will trust in thee, and we will put our expectation in thee, O Lord. We look to thee expectantly. Our eyes are upon thee. O Lord, when we consider so many today, they do not know true happiness. O Lord, we pray that many would be delivered, that many would know that help from thee, that they then would know that ongoing help in their lives. Help us today to recognize how blessed we are afresh. Oh, we are so blessed. We know, blessed Saviour, thine eye is upon us. And thou this week, in all that we face, will never take thine eye off us. Oh, praise be to thee. Lord, we would raise our hallelujah. We would praise thee, as we're exhorted to do in thy hymn book. Lord, we are so blessed. Hallelujah. Praise be to thee, for Christ's sake. Amen.